Our dear kind, merciful Father, we are so thankful for all that you do for us, Father, that you provide for us on a daily basis, Father. We're thankful that you are our creator and that you take care of us, Father, when we're doing the right things and even when we do the wrong things, Father. You're so supportive of us and you love us so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins that we might have the right to the tree of life. Father, we're thankful for his sacrifice. We're thankful that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, Father. We're thankful for all the provision that you've brought to us through Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning as we study another portion of your word, Father. We're thankful that we have your word in written form, and we can even look at your word in electronic form, Father, and we can listen to it, Father, from different translations, Father. We're appreciative of it, and we're glad that we can share your word throughout the world, Father. And we're thankful that we're able to share your word through the internet, even as I'm speaking right now, Father. And we're thankful for those that are on the internet watching us even now, Father. Father, we ask that you be with all of us, Father. We know how much you love us and how much you care for us. Father, we ask that you would be with us and help us to reciprocate the love that you have given to us, Father, and us striving to be more and more like you, Father, more and more like Christ, and more like the way you would have us to live our lives in accordance to your word, Father. Father, we ask that you be with those that are new to the faith, Father. We ask that you would open their hearts and their minds and that you would put a protection around them as they grow, Father. And Father, we ask that you be with those of us that are matured in the faith, that we will be a support to them and not a discouragement, that we'll be there for them as they have questions, Father. Help us to be able to direct them in the right direction towards Scripture, Father, so that they too can be mature in the faith, Father, and be able to share your word with others. Father, we ask that you be with those that are seeking, Father. We ask that you would bring them our way, Father, so that we might lead them to Christ, Father. Father, we're just so thankful for all the many blessings that you give to us. They're so numerous, Father. We could spend the rest of our lives writing down and talking about all the wonderful things that you have done for us in our lives. Father, we just thank you so much for those that are here, those that are on their way, those that are on the internet. Father, we just ask you bless us and help us to truly be converted and to be devoted to serving you and to being your true disciples. Father, we ask that you be with those that are in leadership, those that are in charge of government. Father, pray that you would bless them with the wisdom to do the things that are pleasing in your sight and that they will not enact laws that would hinder us from worshiping you in spirit and in truth and from studying your word. Father, we ask that you would be with those that are seeking, Father, that they will find the truth, Father. We ask that you be with those that are spreading the truth, Father, that you would bring opportunity for them so that the gospel may be shared with those that are lost. Father, we ask that you be with those that are spiritually sick, Father. We ask that you would open their minds and their hearts, Father, that something might happen in their life that they may realize their relationship with you, Father, and realize that they need to repent and to change. Father, we just thank you so much for all you do and provide for us. All these things we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, who died for us all. Amen. You know, it's amazing when you begin to study on topics that it has a great effect on your life. Sometimes people say, Solomon, I need you to teach on this and I need you to teach on that. And they say, I want to grow spiritually. And I say to them, if you want to grow spiritually, start teaching. Because when you start teaching, you then become a student of others, and you start studying the subject matter, and that subject matter begins to have an effect on your life. And so not only am I a student of the word, but I'm a teacher of the word, but you just begin to evolve, and the study on prayer and fasting is really having such a grand effect on my life. It's just amazing that we strive to increase more in 2024, more prayer, more fasting, more time with God, more focus on God is what we need to be, because God gave us all in Christ. He wasn't a halfway salvation. We just don't have a little salvation. We have full salvation through Jesus Christ. It's efficient. And so as we look at our example of Christ and God, we need to strive to be better. We always can do better, can't we? We can strive to be better Christians, can't we? When we look at the example of Christ, we can always set the goal to sing better, to participate better, to live a better Christian life, to be a better husband, wife, child, uncle, auntie, Christian, employee, employer. We can strive to be better. So it's important that we do our very best at every opportunity. This morning I want to continue in our lesson, relationships and responsibilities. Last week we began to look at how to view your family. And we'll start from the beginning there just to get us together and focused on where we were last week. So relationships and responsibilities, how to view your family. The Bible places great emphasis on the family. In the very beginning of time when God created Adam and Eve, God established the family as a unit in which mankind was to live and to function. All of us, whether as parents or children, have great responsibilities to our families. But our highest loyalty must be to God and our relationship to Him and the church, the family of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." This does not mean that you are not to be responsible for your family. The Bible clearly states the responsibilities of spouses, of parents, and children in the home. Husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loves the church, according to Ephesians 5:25. And to treat the wife with honor and respect, 1 Peter 3 and 7. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, the Bible says he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we do have a responsibility to take care of our family, but we have a higher responsibility to God, to Jesus, because of who they are. And we, for a while last week, we talked about why Jesus can call us to such a high calling because of what he provides with his salvation, because of who he is as God. That's why the calling is so high. That's why Jesus can say that you need to love me more than mother, brother, sister, spouse, because of who Jesus is. He provides salvation for you. He also calls you to that because he's your creator. He's your provider in life. He's the one that gives you the energy to live as you're sitting where you are. And even as I'm standing where I am, it's because of Jesus. He's the creator, as John chapter 1, verse 1 and following talks about. That's why Jesus can call us to view our church family as we should view them, in a higher focus, but more so in being disciples of Christ. He needs to be first in our lives. It's important that he's our focus. And so our view of Christ should be higher than any other relationship that we have in our lives. Amen? All right. So we've looked at the view of the family, the spiritual family. Now, how are we to view the government? That's the next topic within relationships and responsibilities. But are there any questions about our relationship to Christ? Yes, Tom?
Respect and everything comes down from the top, and the same
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So what Tom was saying is that God is should be the lead of the family. And when things are in an orderly fashion, it should be God and then the dad of the family and the mom and so forth and so on. That is the biblical picture that we have. That's the picture that we have in Scripture. That's what we should be following. But those that are Christians, Christ should be who we're following. We should be following after Christ because he's the head of the body, the church. And so when Christ is calling on us to be his disciples, we've got to deny the others in the sense there's a way of denying them. Christ has to be number one. We've got to deny everybody else from being number one, including self. Christ is number one. He should be reigning on the throne of our hearts. And so as fathers are leading their families, Christ should be the head of the father, should be running that house. Because if the father has Christ on the throne of his heart and is leading him, he's going to treat his wife right. She's not going to have a problem submitting to him. So if everything is in order like it should be, then everything should go better because that's the picture that we have in the Bible. Tommy?
So there's a great responsibility that fathers have that they may not even be aware of. And that is when you're raising children, you're their first impression of what God is like.
Yes.
You're their earthly father.
Yes. Yes.
But the reverse is also true. If you're a good father, a good example, a loving father, you pave the way for your kids to have a better relationship with them.
Yes. Yep, that's so true.
You're their first impression of God.
Yes. Yep. So fathers have a big responsibility in that they are setting the example of what a father is to their children. So when they're taught about God as being a father, it has a great impact on their perception of what a father is. And so fathers, if you're leading correctly and doing the things that you should do, it's easier for the child to take on and have a high respect for God or even have a high respect for authority. It has so many different implications when men are leading the right way according to God's will. It has a grand effect upon the children. Not saying that your children are going to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. Because Adam and Eve had God as their father, but they decided to disobey. But at least they had a father that was an example. And so we as fathers, as we're leading our families, we need to be the best example that we possibly can be. And one piece that I want to add to that is our children also need to see the example of us repenting and making changes in our lives. Because I think that's a piece that is missed in the church sometimes. Maybe some people see it, some people don't. Sometimes it's taught, sometimes it's not. But if your children only see you as being perfect all the time and no mistakes, then when they become adults, who are they learning how to repent, how to make changes in their lives from? And so that needs to be a part of teaching, is that when there needs to be a change or there needs to be an apology, forgiveness, all of these things need to be displayed in the home. And sometimes the home may be over with and the kids are out of the house. But even with those interactions that you have with your children as adults, you need to do your best to display forgiveness, display if you do something wrong, be honest and say, I did that wrong and I'm sorry, and heal that situation, because it makes relationships stronger when you're able to get together, forgive, and move on. Because now you're building the trust back, you're building stronger love and stronger bonds. So there's never a case that's thrown out. You can always do better. So any other comments concerning the view of the family? Okay, very good. Now let's look at how to view the relationship with the government. Civil governments have been established by God so that we may live orderly lives. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Apostle Paul deals with the interaction with the government. Let's turn over there, if you will. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, or 13, verse 1, Romans 13, verse 1, he says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." So the civil governments have been established by God so that we might live orderly lives. Therefore, Christians must be subject to governing authorities, including such things as paying what? What are we going to be paying? You haven't paid your taxes already. We'll be paying taxes here soon. We look over at the example in Matthew 22, 21, I believe, is that text. But look at Matthew 22, 21. We'll talk about taxes. Matthew 22, 21. Let's even take it up to verse 15, if you will, of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Here it says, "Then the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap Jesus or him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus perceived their malice and said, 'Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' Then he said to them, 'Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.'" So there are things that we owe the government. There are responsibilities that we have to our specific government, and we're all in the United States, and so we're subject to the government of the United States, whether we like it or not. But we all enjoy, I believe, a lot of benefits from being in the United States. If you listed all of those benefits, you probably say, "Well, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to stay here." But then there are some that say, "I don't like being here." But wherever you go, whatever government you're under, as a Christian, you have obligation to that place to do certain things. Also, go back to Romans 13, 2. Let's turn our Bibles back there. Anybody had a comment with taxes? Anybody paying their taxes in here? I'm going to stay out of that. But there it is. It's in the Bible. So there you have it. It's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. So I've got to pay my taxes too. I'm not exempt. Yeah, I've got to pay mine. Now look at verse 2 of Romans 13. He says, "Therefore he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." So if you go against the government is going to respect you and issue you the proper punishment that you deserve. That's the reality. And in speaking about authority, and even thinking about the home is the first place where you learn about authority. You learn about authority at home. Sometimes people don't necessarily talk about it, but when you have older siblings, they're kind of an authority over you as a younger sibling, even though sometimes you may not want to listen to that as a kid. But, you know, there is a beckoning order or order of authority. And sometimes your parents will tell your older siblings, okay, watch out for the younger sibling. Do this for them. And for myself growing up, my older siblings taught me a lot of things. They gave me a lot of instructions. They gave me warnings. And so a lot of that stuff I still remember, and it was useful, very useful. So, but authority is learned at home. And the more a person is taught about authority and how to respect authority, it has an effect when they go off to school. So they have respect for those adults that are in charge of them in the schoolhouse. But in other places, when they go to work, it has a grand effect upon them. But here specifically, we're talking about how to view the government as an authority figure for us. Are there any questions about how we should view the government and the authority that the government has? Yes? Okay. Yes? Okay. Okay. So what was the name of, what was the title? Was it just authority or? Okay. 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 Oh, so it's pretty new. Okay. I'll have to watch it. Okay. Very good. So there is a new video. It's on World Video. It's in World Video Bible School. Oh, In Search of the Lord's Way. Okay. In Search of the Lord's Way. Okay. So that's with, now I can't think of his name, the preacher there in Oklahoma there. But it's in Edmond, Oklahoma, In Search of the Lord's Way. So, and he's talking about authority. So that probably was this last Sunday he talked about. Okay, okay. All right. So we'll check that out and see what he says about authority then. Thank you for that. Anyone else has any comments on our view of the government, how Christians should view the government? Heidi? Yes. Yes. Yep. So that's the way that it is. That's the reality of dealing with government is they are in charge of all of the different facilitation of programs and different things that they are administrating over. But our obligation as Christians is to pay our taxes and to have respect for the authority that's over us. That's just the way that it is. And I'm actually glad that there is a government that is over us. So that's one less thing we have to deal with. I just pay my taxes and keep moving. That's what our my teachers told us. You're a preacher, pay your taxes, write the check, and keep going. Get back to work. So that was the instructions we were given, yes? Yes. 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 And as some will say, if you have the money to pay your taxes, you should be glad you've got the money to pay your taxes. So God has blessed you with the ability to do so. And even our government, if you have problems paying your taxes, you can call them and negotiate. So we are blessed, I believe, beyond measure when we are comparing our government to other governments. But even if we were in a different government system, we're subject to the government. As long as it doesn't get in the way of obeying God. Mark? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, that is so true. So our eyes need to be focused on Jesus, because as we all know and we're all familiar with that, as we run out of time, we're getting closer to being out of this world. We ran out of time for Bible class this morning, and we lost an hour last night. But with all of that in mind, we have a goal in mind, and that is to make heaven our home. And so there are things we have to do, like pay taxes and respect authority. But we're doing all of that because of our respect for God. He's our Heavenly Father. And whatever He directs us to do, we're willing to do those things that He's commanded us to do. And so we need to have respect, the proper respect for authority. We need to have the proper view of our family, our spiritual family, as well as our physical family. There are just responsibilities that we have in these relationships. And if we're going to be the children of God and to be the example that God wants us to be, we need to carry these things out without scratching and screaming. We just need to go ahead and get with it. And serve, because we think about all that Christ did for us, all that He's done for us. So we should be motivated to be able to have the privilege to serve in these different situations, whether being respectful to the government or even providing for our family, but also our discipleship, our relationship with Christ, being a shining example for Him. We should do that. The third topic I want to deal with this morning is how to view brethren in Christ. How am I supposed to view my brothers and sisters in Christ? When a person obeys the gospel, they are added to the church, according to Acts chapter 2:47. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And as a member of the church, a person becomes a child of God. We can look over at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Let's turn our Bibles there, if you will. Galatians chapter 3, looking at verses 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, looking at verses 26 and 27. Here Paul is writing to the folks in Galatia, Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 26, 27. He says, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with who? With Christ. With Christ. So we all belong to Christ. We've clothed ourselves with Christ. So He therefore sustains a relationship to others who are in Christ, meaning that each of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what I grew up. I used to call people brother this and sister that. And in some congregations, when I came here, I was reoriented and I was told to call people that were way older than me by their first name. It took me a while to get adjusted to that. Because I was used to saying brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, but then it's fine to do it this way. We call each other by our first names, which is fine because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's fine. Everywhere has their different customs, but we recognize each other as being brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is just a beautiful situation to be in, is to have a relationship with one another. When we're baptized, we gain a new family. I recognized that when I was in the military, when I was traveling. I would go to a new place, And I would pick up the phone and I'd look, and that was back when you had the phone books. I would look in the phone book and say, okay, there's Churches of Christ. And I'd just call all the ones there and see who was going to come pick me up. And when I was in Colorado Springs, there were six congregations. And the church that was closest, which was Security Church of Christ on Cable Lane, they sent out a brother to come pick me up, David Chambers. And I remember it was a snowy day because when I landed in Colorado Springs, it was snowy. It was November 21st. And not too much longer that Sunday, I got a ride in a Jeep, a mailman's Jeep. And so, you know, there's only one seat in those. there's only one seat in those Jeeps. And it's just for the driver. So I'm wondering when I get in here, because David's like 6 foot three, and I'm just like, so David, where are we going to sit? You're going to sit right here. And he pointed like that. He was from Wyoming. He's very, very plain guy. You're going to sit right here. And so I sat on the tray that holds the mail. So I didn't have a seatbelt. And so here we are in the winter wonderland of Colorado Springs with all this snow everywhere. And so we just slid all the way to church. And it was a great time. But I became very fond of them and his wife and two boys, Timothy and Titus. And his wife's name was Dagma. She was from Germany. But they would pick me up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then on other occasions when we would have things on Fridays, other people would pick me up. Peggy and her husband would pick me up. But the beautiful thing about this is that just calling people on the phone who I had never met in my life, no one introduced them to me. I just picked up the phone and called the local Church of Christ, and they dispatched somebody who I didn't know. I didn't know what they were going to look like or anything, because they never say what they look like or anything. So I just see somebody show up and is like, are you here from the church? Yes, I'm the one. Okay. And I just get in the car with this strange person. In this case, it was David Rutter in this truck. And it was amazing. But I say all of that to say, when you are a child of God, you have a relationship with thousands of people all around the world. And when you pick up the phone and call them, now we can text people, we can Facebook Messenger folks, and they'll just show up and give you a ride. That is so grand, isn't it? Especially for me, I was a single guy. I didn't have a wife or kids or anybody in this new place. And here are these folks from my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they took me under their wings, and the preacher would harass me and they call me Samson and everything, because I had a lot of muscles back then. So he called me Samson. I mean, people give you nicknames, and they just take you in, and they take you out to dinner, and they just love on you. It's priceless. And so our view of our brothers and sisters in Christ is we should have respect. We should have love for them. We should be carried away with encouraging them to hold on to their relationship with God. And I say, I like to give that testimony about my experiences because it's the reason why I was able to hang on to my relationship with God. Those people were there. They were already ready to serve. They were just waiting for a phone call. And that's just so awesome to me that they were just waiting for that phone call. And I know those folks, some of them have passed on, but the folks that are still alive, I could call them and have a conversation with them, and it'll be an encouraging time, and we talk about past times. Tommy?
I noticed that those rides that you drive in Colorado are paying attention.
Yes, yes. Yep, yep, yep. That example, because of how it made me feel for somebody to pick me up, especially the initial one, because they had no idea if I was a troubled child or whatever. they were just like, we're coming to get you. And it's just been beautiful to have those experiences. And thinking about all the different duty stations that I went to, people just showed up and said, okay, we're coming to get you. I was in Texas. Somebody said, we're going to come and get you. We're not having worship at the church. We're having our small group out in West Texas, where I was at that particular time. And they said, we're having a get-together at someone's home in their backyard. They told me everything about it. And again, they never say how they look, and I never say how I look. They just show up, and I say, I'll be right in front of the place. And they just show up and, okay, get in. Are you Solomon? Or I say, are you whoever you are? And after that, we become acquainted, and we express to each other the love of God. That is just, I mean, if you've never been in that position before, it is just amazing to have immediate acceptance from a stranger. You don't have to prove anything. I didn't have to break out, look for my, where's my baptismal certificate? Because my baptismal certificate was at my parents' house. But it was just immediate, and people just take you right on in. And that is just priceless. And so we should have a positive view of our brothers and sisters in Christ. As a child of God, you have brothers and sisters all over the world. And there are several passages in Scripture that reveal what your attitude toward your brothers and sisters in Christ should be. And all of the ones I talked about is accepting one another, encouraging one another, you know, getting a nickname. I mean, like I went to the church in Aztec. As soon as I got over there, people started giving me nicknames. You're going to be this or you're going to be that. And, you know, because that's just the way that they see me. They're like, okay, you're going to be one of the brothers. He said, we're going to call you Tank. And I was just like, okay. And I just went on along with it. But it's everyone has a special way of talking to you and encouraging you. We can't be narrow-minded and say, well, this is how you got to do it specifically. If it's love, it's just love, and it communicates that way. And so I have so many brothers and sisters, varieties, personalities. And you look at everyone that's in here, look at the variety that's even in here. It's amazing, the different personalities of people that are here in the body of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You can also look to another passage, 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It would have been interesting if David would have said, well, Solomon, just walk to church. I probably would have. I probably would have wrote my 10-speed because I had a 10-speed at that particular time. And I remember one occasion I was riding to pick up my uniforms. I was changing uniforms, and I slid probably from here to there trying to make a corner, and I just kept sliding, and I never fell. It was amazing. So my experience on riding a bike on solid ice, I'm still good. I can ice skate too. But I think I was glad that someone came to pick me up. So if I had to walk to church, I would have walked to church. I think it's about 5 miles to that church from the base. But I was thankful that someone came to pick me up. So in the middle of all that ice. Another passage to consider is, anybody have any questions or answers or comments? Okay. I just see hands moving sometimes, so. All right, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You know, people really appreciate it when you're not just someone that says, be warmed and be filled. When people are struggling in their lives, they need somebody that's going to help them just a little bit. And I like to use the analogy of weightlifting because I like weightlifting. But usually when somebody needs a spot when they're weightlifting, it's not that they're not strong. They're trying to get to the next level. And so they just need just a little help. And that's usually the case when someone is dealing with a situation in their life. They just need somebody to spot them, somebody to come alongside and encourage them. They're not asking you to take the whole load. They're just asking for just a little spot. And that goes a long ways. People love a spot. Tommy? Then we're almost done. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Just a finger, just a little spot. So if you ever work out with me and I ask for a spot, you know, that's all I need is just that little bit. So, well, thank you for your time this morning in talking about relationships and responsibilities. Thank you.